Okay, if you turn with me to 2 Corinthians, we want to read two parts of this second letter of Paul to the church at Corinth. You will recall in his first letter, he was rather sharp with them in seeking to correct several of the problems that had arisen in this church, and it must have caused him a lot of angst and worry and concern and care. And we know that a transformation took place in the reading of this first letter, and so he now writes them this second letter. But the focus tonight I want to bring to you is on the word of comfort. And as we read these two passages, particularly think about how that relates to what Paul is saying here. So we'll first read from chapter 1 of 2 Corinthians, the first 11 verses, and then we'll turn to chapter 7 and read the first 7 verses. Let's hear God's word. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the church of God that is at Corinth, with all the saints which are in the whole of Achaia. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our afflictions, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as we share abundantly in Christ's sufferings, so through Christ we share abundantly in comfort also. If we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. And if we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which you experience when you patiently endure the same sufferings that we suffer. Our hope for you is unshaken, for we know that as you share in our sufferings, you will also share in our comfort. For we do not want you to be unaware, brothers, of the conflict we experienced in Asia. For we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death, but that was to make us not to rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. He delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us. On him we have set our hope that he will deliver us again. You also must help us by prayer, so that many will give thanks on our behalf for the blessing granted us through the prayers of many. Let me turn to chapter 7. Since we have these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from every defilement of the body and spirit, bringing holiness to completion in the fear of God. Make room in your hearts for us. We have wronged no one. We have corrupted no one. We have taken advantage of no one. I do not say this to condemn you, for I said before that you are in our hearts to die together and to live together. I'm acting with great boldness toward you. I have great pride in you. I am filled with comfort. In all our affliction, I am overflowing with joy. For even when we came into Macedonia, our bodies had no rest, but we were afflicted at every turn, fighting without and fear within. But God, who comforts the downcast, comforted us by the coming of Titus. And not only by his coming, but also by the comfort wherewith he was comforted by you, as he told us of your longing, your mourning, your zeal for me, so that I rejoiced still more. We'll end our reading there this evening of God's holy, inspired, and infallible word. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, you know well, I trust, our confession. And as we begin the confession in the Heidelberg Catechism, it's asking this rhetorical question, this famous question, what is your only comfort in life and in death? And it gives the marvelous answer of where that comfort is to be found. Many throughout the ages have found comfort in the various parts of that answer. But in a summary, we could say in that whole answer is found in one word, the God of all comfort. Some of you probably know of the young man in our particular congregation in Grand Rapids, who is also a 18-year-old son of my niece, who was killed last week. Huge garage door from an aviation shed malfunctioned and came crashing down right on his head. Instantly killed. We went to the scene. I went to the parents' house. What would you say in words of comfort to them? Plunged into grief and sorrow, devastation and tragedy. God gives us, in even situations like this, to know that He surrounds us, and He wants us to know that He is surrounding us with Himself. And He uses others to bring comfort to us as well. And so my theme tonight, as we focus on this idea of comfort, the God of all comfort, I want to look at two things with you from these passages as we look at various parts of it. First of all, I want to look at who is He comforting? And then secondly, how He actually brings this comfort to us. Well, first of all, as Paul begins this section here, he's writing this letter with all this history behind. He has heard the good report that we're going to read about in chapter 7 about Titus coming back to him, telling him the transformation and change that had taken place in the hearts of those at Corinth and dealing with the sin in their midst and everything. And now he begins this letter. It doesn't mean that the Apostle Paul and his trials and afflictions are gone. It doesn't mean that tonight my trials in my family with my wife and I, or you and your families in hearing this message of comfort that's available, means that immediately upon leaving this message, it's all gone. Not at all. But in the midst of this suffering, in the midst of these trials, what we can know and what we confess is blessed be God. That's what also can be said to this family that I visited immediately after this tragedy. Blessed be God. If we can't confess that by faith, we have nowhere else to go. It doesn't take away the pain. It doesn't take away the questions. It doesn't take away the suffering. But we have one to whom we can go. And He gives us family. We were related through bloodlines. But as a pastor, you come to realize, and I suspect that your pastor would acknowledge, in the church there's often connections of family. And the pastor and others sometimes come in from the outside into a group within the church. But we are all family. When I did an opening for prayer for our church and reminded them of this truth from this passage, notice what Paul says, blessed be God and the Father. Yes, of our Lord Jesus Christ, but He's the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. And we are seen as part of His family. And so the one who was lost in our congregation was not just simply a son of this couple. He was our son. And when you see someone here, perhaps, who maybe is going astray, perhaps a son or daughter, He's your son. When people bring forward their children for baptism, it's not only their sons, it's our sons. We are one family if we are united in Christ. And this comfort then that we're going to see tonight is brought to those who have need of comfort. And one of those is what Paul says here was himself. But he says, notice in chapter 7, verse 5, even when we came to Macedonia, our bodies had no rest, but we were afflicted at every turn, fighting without and fears within. So who does God comfort? Well, children, you know, when it's your birthday and you're just old enough to begin riding a bike and your parents buy you that shiny new bike from Meijer, and they help you on it and you get on it and you want to help them, and the child wants nothing to do with it, wants to ride down the hill on their own by themselves. Off they go. Everything's well, everything's joyful, everything's good until they fall off and skin their knee. And then they need comfort. And before that time, if you had tried to comfort your child in some way, there's nothing to receive. There's no pain. There's no suffering. There's no need. And so part of suffering in our life is designed by God Himself, that we would turn to Him because He is the God of all comfort. He's able to comfort us in whatever need we might have. And there are many needs today. Many reasons for why we need comfort. Paul says God comforts those who are cast down. Paul in other places is talking about fightings without and fears within. We're troubled on every side. We're pressed out of measure, above strength, so that we almost despaired of life. He was, if we put it in common terms, he was so depressed, he was thinking of ending his life, if you will. He was so cast out. Notice what he says in 2 Corinthians 11. We were in labor more abundant, in stripe above measure, in prisons more frequently, in deaths often. Of the Jews I received 40 stripes. Thrice I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Three times I suffered shipwreck, a day and night in the deep, journeying often. Perils of water, peril of robber, peril of mine own countrymen, peril of the heathen, peril in the city, perils in the wilderness, in the sea, and among false brethren. In weariness and painfulness and watching often, in hunger and thirst and fasting and cold and nakedness. And beside all this that are without, there was daily the need and the care of the church. I suspect that among you, even tonight, there may be pressings. The idea, Paul, here is pressing beyond measure. It's like putting a nut in a vise and squeezing it until oil begins to come out of it. Children, when you have peanut butter that's natural, it's pressed, and then you buy it in the jar and the oil has come out, sitting there on the top. That's how Paul felt, just pressed out of measure. And sometimes you might feel that way for whatever suffering and reason you may have. And part of Paul's suffering, I think, leading up to this letter was he had ministered in this church at Corinth, a very wicked city, and people had come out of great depravity and sinfulness and come to confess the Lord. And then he left and he began hearing reports of what was happening, and it troubled him to the core of his heart. He was pressed out of measure. There are people in the world who are going to counselors and psychologists who can't live hardly another day. They just can't stand the pressure. And even some Christians, some believers who feel the same way. And we don't minimize that feeling and that sense of being pressed beyond measure. But those who don't know the Lord, have no God of all comfort to whom they can turn. Remember, Paul in particular had all these grand experiences, even perhaps more than we will ever have. On the road to Damascus, he was confronted by this light and it knocked him off onto the ground. And then he said later, lifted up into the third heaven and saw things he couldn't even describe with words. And now he's saying and writing to these Corinthians, I'm pressed beyond measure. I don't know where to turn sometimes. I just feel overwhelmed. This isn't a strange thing for the children of God. All the way back to the beginning of time, even when we come to the history of the word in Job, he experienced suffering beyond description, pressed beyond measure. His children, his possessions, his own health, all taken from him. David in the Psalms is often complaining about this very same thing. He talks about sinking in the depths where none can stand and the waves rush over his soul. I think of Elijah, the great prophet. You remember, he's standing there on the hill when they make these two altars to the Lord on Mount Carmel. And it wasn't very long after that we find the same prophet who stand boldly and said, if God be God, serve him, and if Baal be God, serve him. He is running away from Jezebel into the wilderness. Pressed beyond measure. And so Paul here is describing this for us, and we mustn't think that it won't happen to us, even if we are a Christian. Spurgeon said, I am the subject of depressions of spirit so fearful that I hope none of you ever get to such extremes of wretchedness as I go to. Are you pressed beyond measure at times? You don't know where to go. You feel overwhelmed. You cry out to God and it seems perhaps that He's not near. Well, Paul's message to us is that He remains the God of all comfort. And He's able to still say at the beginning of this letter to the Corinthians, blessed be God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of all mercies, the God of all comfort. We learn that by faith. This is Paul's heart and mind and understanding that doesn't look at his circumstances. He doesn't grin and bear it. But he's able to bless God because he knows His Father's hand is in it all. That there is nothing that will come upon his path that his Father will not carry him through and uphold him and strengthen him. That's why he will go on to say, yes, we will suffer affliction. We suffer with Christ's suffering. But we also share abundantly in comfort also. How can he do that? How can he say that? Well, I said to this couple also when I met with them after we had to break the news to them. I said, I don't know what you're going through. I can't even fathom it. But I said, someone can. Someone who lost their son. Who loved his son more than you ever could have. And he gave his son to death. Our Father knows. And so when we face suffering, when we face difficulty and challenge, what Paul wants us to do in all our need is to realize that there is a God of all comfort who can comfort us in all our affliction. So I can say with confidence tonight, I don't know you very well. I don't know what your particular trial is, what sufferings you're going through or have gone through, or what weighs on you. But one thing I do know, this God of all comfort is able to do exceeding abundantly above what you could ask or think. But how does he do that? That brings us to the second thing. Paul says, but God, who comforts those who are downcast, comforted us by the coming of Titus. Notice in chapter 7, verse 6, he had mentioned all the difficulties he had experienced, fighting without and fears within, the end of verse 5. And then he says, verse 6, but God, who comforts the downcast, that's who he comforts, comforted us by the coming of Titus. And notice how intimately Paul here in writing this letter is connecting how God is comforting, but he's doing it through the instrumentality also of other people. God can and does indeed comfort us directly by his Spirit who lives within us when we are united to Christ. He comforts us by applying truth and promises of his word to our hearts as we read it, as we sing it, as we hear it proclaimed. And we're comforted and strengthened. Those are ways in which he comforts us. He comforts us in the sacraments, in the Lord's Supper. He comforts us in many ways, directly. Paul knew this. But Paul knew as well that God will use others to bring comfort to us. And that's why Paul could say, I am filled with comfort. I am exceeding joyful in tribulation. We in the Western church, and I include myself, perhaps more than I think even of you, but I look at some of our students who are serving in China, for example, a man I can think of who's laboring back there right now. And he basically told me his suitcase is packed, ready for the knock on the door to take him away to be in prison. We don't know what that's like. But as I read the New Testament, I find that's more the framework of thinking for the New Testament church than it is for ourselves. I'm afraid, if I look at myself, we're more like, we don't want to disturb anything that's going on in the world. I leave well enough alone. Just be silent and live in your faith and be at peace. We can't do that any longer. We're called to speak the truth. The truth is will set us free. It will set this nation and this world free. And so we may suffer persecution. But as Paul would say, I'm exceeding joyful in all my tribulation. He doesn't look for tribulation. He doesn't go out seeking for it. But he knows all those who will live godly shall suffer persecution. Paul said, we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation works patience, patience experience, and experience hope. And hope does not make ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who is given to us. I just ask you to pause a moment and think back in your own life. When you experienced those most pressing times, whether it was a loss of a loved one, broken relationship, conviction of your own sinfulness, pain in your body, maybe persecution from those around you. And if you think back how God in his marvelous wisdom caused your spiritual growth to deepen and to flourish in fruit through those difficulties, perhaps, likely, more than at any other time in your life. This is what Paul is saying to us. The God of all comfort is able to comfort us so that we also may be used of God to comfort others. Paul mentions this God of all comfort in 2 Thessalonians as well. Now, our Lord Jesus Christ himself, the God, even our Father who loved us, has freely given us everlasting consolation or comfort and good hope through grace. May he comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. Paul knows that this God of all comfort does comfort us as the triune God. I think of the word he uses here, the God of all comfort. And he uses the Greek word paraklesis, the one who is filled with comfort and able to comfort in every need. He's the Father of all mercies. He's compassionate to us in all our afflictions. But Christ, the Son of God, is also our advocate, our parakletos, the one who intercedes for us. He comforts us also knowing that he is interceding for us at the Father's right hand. And he told us before he left, he said, and I will give you who? The comforter, the parakletos, the paraklete who will comfort you and he dwells within you. We have a triune God who comforts us in all our need. Paul, therefore, in the midst of his suffering, could proclaim, this God of all comfort is sufficient for me. He's sufficient for you. Now, what Paul is saying, not only does God comfort us, but notice how he added here in verse 6, he comforted us by the coming of Titus. And if you go back to the beginning of what we read, chapter 1, he says, who comforts us in all our affliction, so that, for this purpose, the reason you and I have experienced any comfort from God, or even from others who God has sent in our path, is for a purpose. Not to keep that comfort to ourselves and to be satisfied. Wow, that was great to be comforted. I no longer have this trial and this burden laying on me. But rather, it says here, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. The church is meant to be a place where mutually we are edifying and strengthening and comforting one another. But then not only this, but overflowing into this world that is in pain and in suffering and confusion and fear. They don't know about a God of all comfort. And it's only through those who have experienced this comfort from God and from those who are ambassadors of God will be able to be pointed to him through their ministry. Paul is saying, when I sent this letter to you and Titus went to go visit you afterwards, he found among you that the word of God is powerful. It brought you to repentance. It brought you to confession and clinging to Christ more than ever before. And the Apostle Paul, who was torn apart by what happened in the church at Corinth, who was beside himself as to what his letter was going to accomplish, and he was being mocked and ridiculed even by some at Corinth who said, oh, Paul just thinks he's the great apostle. There's more important people to listen to than him, and he was worried about what was going to happen. But when the message came back from Titus that the word of God found entrance into their heart, all the burden of Paul that was still there and various other things that surrounded him, suddenly he was lifted up and he could bless God. Doesn't mean all his trial was gone and all of his affliction had departed. And it's true for us as well. When you come alongside of someone else and you minister comfort that you've received of God, doesn't mean for that person it's going to disappear. But you've shared and you've walked along the path and you've walked alongside and upheld them and pointed them to the God of all comfort. When they come to understand this comfort and experience this comfort, they will be able to go to others to comfort them as well. Job and his wife, Job's friends and his wife were poor comforters. And it's often how we are, because we haven't processed this deeply. We haven't come to understand the great comfort that lies with God for ourselves and live out of that comfort so that we may speak a word of comfort to others. What happens instead? I find with myself, at least, if I'm in pain, leave me alone. Give me a Tylenol, and I'm going to bed for 3 hours. Now, I'll say that's okay. But it's not what Paul is calling us to in any way. We're poor comforters because we ourselves are not fleeing to the God of all comfort with all of our needs, and all of our suffering, whatever that suffering might be, to receive His comfort also from others, and then receiving His comfort to speak to others. Do you know this comfort in some measure in your own life, in your experience, in your suffering? Do you see your task and calling in this passage from God Himself so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction? Can you tell me, in your congregation, in your family, who this week, who is experiencing suffering, affliction, downcast? A part of it's because we don't open up very much. We're afraid to share our feelings and our being downcast. But if you don't know of anyone, have you ever asked? Are we willing to share and speak about our need? And then, if we have been comforted of God, to be able to speak to those who are needing this comfort as well. And Paul, in this passage, in this letter to the Corinthians, is saying to us, let us bless God, the Father of all His children, who is giving comfort to each of them, that they may be able to comfort others. This offering that was received, that's up here, I believe. God gave you gifts and abilities to give to this cause so that others may be blessed. It's no different with this. If you have been comforted and God has been near to you and He has taught you lessons through the things you've experienced in your suffering, He wants you to open your mouth. He wants me to open my mouth and to speak of this God. Blessed be God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of all mercies. He comforted me. Can you believe that? And we're to speak so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. So our hope of you is not unshaken, for we know that as you share in our sufferings, you will share in our comfort. Amen. Let us pray together. Our great God and Heavenly Father, God of all comfort, the Father of mercies, we may have pressing needs that no one else knows. We may be pressed out of measure, even now. But you are the God who is able to do more than we can even ask or think. And use, Lord, your people to rise up, to speak, to be an instrument in thy hand of blessing to others who are in need of comfort as well. So help us to be this. to others around us, not only in the church, but in our community, in our families, that we would point them to you. We ask this in Jesus' name.